bringing you the truth or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
We have made it to the weekend, one day away from the Red Raiders taking on the Iowa State Cyclones in Ames. It's going to be cold. Clint Scott with Jackson Frazier. And we got Brennan Paid employee, BPE, behind the glass taking care of us. We are live from the First United Bank studio. You can call us on the Benchmark hotline, 806-771-0973. Or you can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions. Take everything there. Don't forget, you can also take us anywhere with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. We're going to talk plenty of Texas Tech, Iowa State. Jackson is going to help us figure out who the contenders are and pretenders are for the Super Bowl. Hour number one, we'll also have Action Jackson's play of the day. I guess technically today it's BPE's money play of the day.
Ooh.
And then we will have a Friday edition of Kaylee's Dailies in hour one. Gentlemen, how are we feeling?
Feeling good. Happy to be on this side.
Is it weird?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
It's feel a little bit more open.
You feel like you're looking at Brennan like you as a younger self?
Yeah, it's actually, that's exactly how it looks, actually.
He's looking into a mirror. I'm his reflection.
Yeah. What, because there's obviously a size difference between you two. When you look at Brennan's size, what age were you at that? Because you mentioned you were a very big kid. When you look at Brennan, were you like, that was me as a fifth grader?
Brennan, if you don't mind, like, what's your height, weight?
5'2", 130 pounds.
That was like third grade.
That's why you had the helmet sticker.
That was like fourth grade. I was probably like 100.
That's why you had the helmet sticker. That's 5'2", 130, though, that you don't mess with.
It depends on who you are.
Brennan, you don't look like someone who's going around starting fights, though, because no one wants to start it with you.
I'm not a fighter. I'm a runner.
You're a runner. Oh, man. Hey, get us your score predictions in for the weekend. We'll give you ours at 1:15 with a Friday edition of Blind Projections. Again, no Jamie Lent. So today we get the BPE Jamie, and we get the return of the AI Coin Jamie. We're very excited. Now, Brennan, we haven't told you this. What happens, of course, we will pick games, 8 to be exact, 5 from the Big 12 and 3 from out of conference. We have a Sonny Cumbie game today, so we'll have another Tech connection. We'll let you pick. We'll let the coin pick, and then we don't tell Jamie what the picks were, and he has to decide if he trusts Brennan or if he trusts a 50-50 coin. Last week, he trusted Josh.
Did that help him?
By a pick. Couldn't either. Last week was dreadful. Last week was awful, except for you, which was like, eh, okay. We get this in the chat line. Snead's looking a little pale today. Is he okay?
Yeah, just a little cold.
No back impingement?
No.
I thought he was going to die.
I didn't know what to do for a while, and then I was like, I guess we'll just let it ride out till 1.
Yeah. Do you have the ambulance on standby?
I just kept turning his mic on and off.
Really?
Because I just didn't, it looked like he was about to start screaming, so I'll just turn it off real quick and then nothing would come out.
We get this from Bullfighter. Is it more open because his ears wouldn't fit in the producer room or what? Yeah.
Yeah, these are specially made headphones to contain. They're actually deep. They're just hollow.
So if you take those off, it's like an old timey scroll where the ears and the lobes just keep on like unrolling, unrolling.
Exactly. They're just tucked up in here. It's kind of like fitting like a tent back into its.
Oh, man. I love camping. I do. And I can go all the way from just put up like a very primitive tarp to as bougie camping as you want to get. I have no problem either way. It's fun. But there is nothing more annoying to me as far as when you're doing outdoor stuff. Like when you're done with your camping trip, you're worn out, you're tired, and then you have to deal with all these stupid little tent poles, and you have to do the rolling them up and just use your giant body and you just roll like an alligator to get all the air out of the tent, and you have to roll it up so perfect, and then you try to put it in the bag, and then it doesn't fit the first time, so you pull it back out and re-roll it. I mean, it's a lot like setup for you guys. You've seen with the tarp, and then it's like, didn't get it right the first time. And then by the end of it, of course, you could just say you could just be more efficient and figure it out. I've rolled it like 3 or 4 times.
I give up. I usually find a way to like kind of just mash it together into a ball. And that's how I also fold like my comforters with the corners, or mm-hmm. I guess the sheets. Mm-hmm. I don't try to fold them. I just hopefully it's like a nice looking mess.
A nice looking mess. I've been described that way by my wife. I think that's how she decided on me. She's like, he looks like a nice, maybe ish was in there looking mess. Oh, man. Yeah, I think about the first tent that I had, actually. I make that joke, and it was, like, way on sale. It was a POS, if I'm being honest. It was terrible. It was very much crumpled in the trunk for a while, way back in my olden youths. And how old are you, Brennan?
19.
Okay, so a few years older than you, probably in between what you guys are. Texas Tech taking on the Iowa State Cyclones. Feeling of confidence at this point in time?
It's weird because I do, but at the same time, I'm hesitant. Mm-hmm. I understand like what this team is and what they're good at and where their strengths come from. And I kind of made an analogy or I guess the last segment, and it's a lot how I felt going in as an Eagles fan to the Cowboys game. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel as a Texas Tech fan. Their defense is really good, but our defense is also, you know, pretty good as well. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest gap, I don't think there's that big of a gap between our defenses as there is between our offenses. And I think our offense is better than what their defense is to ours, if that makes sense.
No, I see what you're saying because, I mean, there's no two ways around it. Iowa State has the best defense in the country, and part of that scheme, part of that is they just have guys. And this is the thing that's been the biggest, to me, attribute to Matt Campbell is defensively he has guys usually that are talented, but they also commit and just fully understand their role in that defense. And they don't, well, I'd say they don't beat themselves. They don't beat themselves defensively. Offensively this year, they've beaten themselves plenty of times. I mean, you can go to the Kansas game. You can go to the Texas game where they were just absolutely just dropping wide open touchdowns there in Austin. And I mean, I agree because your defense has been solid. And at times, I would say from what I expected, I didn't think they were just going to be, you know, a bleep show out there. But I thought that maybe they'd be a little more inconsistent than what they have been defensively. And it hasn't been perfect. But when you look at what I expected out of the offense and the defense, it's kind of been flipped the other way of how it's played out. And you've had plenty of issues offensively, part of that being injury-driven, part of that being quarterback play, and of course a big part that everyone kind of expected was offensive line play. But defensively, you've been solid. And I look at the matchup from both sides to what you're saying. Like, I mean, obviously we'll get the score later when we pick games. I feel extremely confident heading into a freezing game in Ames, a place that has not been kind to you, even as good as that defense is. We'll talk about it more here on The Bottom Line at 100.7 The Score. But next, we're going to play a little Pretenders and Contenders. Keep it with us right here on 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is The Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Fitted sheets, Jackson Waxon. True.
I'm gonna say that's what it feels like.
True. I say that. Like my wife can do it, but it's physically impossible for me.
I feel confident and then I'll like pick it up and I'm like, oh, this it looks like a blobfish.
So at LCU we're not allowed to fold sheets because it's a source of witchcraft.
That's well done. That's well done. As it says in the Old Testament, no one shall fold a fitted sheet to the dungeon. All right, it's time for you, Jackson, to tell us who the pretenders and contenders are in the NFL. to actually win the Super Bowl. Okay?
So not just going deep playoff runs.
No, to win. I want to know shebang. A legit threat to win it all. Because if you went just make it and maybe win a game in the playoffs or even make it to the conference championship, there'd be the laundry list would be way too big, right? Because sometimes you find some Super Bowl pretenders in the AFC championship game or the NFC championship game. It doesn't always play out to the legitimate threats to the Super Bowl get there. But, hey, you're going to help us figure that out. As we look at the playoff standings right now, everybody about 9 games off. The Titans beat the Packers last night, their Thursday Night Football, by the way. We'll start at the top of the top. The Kansas City Chiefs over in the AFC, 7-2. Pretender or contender?
Well, they have to be a contender. There's no way they're just... There's no way. They've shown it for too long. Even if the makeup of their team is different than it has been the last few years, as you probably know, but they're still... It's still Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Chris Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still getting the job done. Just different people filling different roles at this point. But that's what a good team does.
And through injuries in the secondary, playing defense at times this year. And now if you look at, you know, Edwards-Helaire and Pacheco, starting to get a running game going, which I think is, I mean, it's important for any team. Especially when you get into the playoffs and you get into these cold December and January games, it's important not to just have a passing game. So let's go to the top of the NFC right now. The Philadelphia Eagles, your Philadelphia Eagles, kick rocks, Philly boy.
They're going to be kicking rocks all the way to a Super Bowl because they are contenders.
Yo, Adrian!
The turnover differential is a big thing that stands out to me with the Eagles. I mean, one of the best in the league offensively, really, really good. Jalen Hurts has already developed more than I thought he would in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. I was confident that he was going to be better this year than last year, but I wouldn't have put to the degree that he is being, you know, top 5, top 10 MVP favorite kind of player. And, trying to be unbiased, I think they are contenders. I think their team is stacked at every position, basically. They at least have talent there. There's not really an obvious hole.
Mm-hmm.
And what there was an obvious hole in as a team in their run defense, they went and shorted up in about 2 days, or at least did something to try to make it better.
All right, let's stay in the NFC. Let's stay with 8-1 records. The Cowboys' opponent this Sunday. It'll be at Minnesota. We'll have that on Double T 97.3 at 2:30. The 8-1 Minnesota Vikings.
This one's hard. But I think I lean pretender.
I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody.
I think it's just hard for me to say that Kirk Cousins is a contender.
Mm-hmm.
He's always put up good numbers. And so just kind of seeing that, I don't know. It's hard for me to say Kirk Cousins is going to go win the Vikings a Super Bowl. And maybe he's not the one that does it, but it's still just hard to see him being the quarterback of a Super Bowl winning team.
And you go on the Vikings history of just different ways to lose in the playoffs or keep themselves out of the playoffs at times. I almost would agree. I think they are a contender this year, and maybe I'm putting too much stock in one game. But going into Buffalo and winning and just making plays, play after play, finding a way in overtime was very impressive. And that was kind of a prove-it game to me. And so it just showed me, yeah, I mean, if they keep on the same run, absolutely the Vikings are a contender in the Super Bowl.
I will say if they can go win this weekend, that definitely sways it a lot.
Yeah, this should be a take care of business because the Cowboys, when they've played bad, other than the Bucks game one, they've lost on the road to good teams, right? Or supposed to be good teams in the Green Bay Packers. Really, the first time playing like a good team in quite a few weeks. And so if I'm a Vikings fan, I'm saying, yeah, this should be a week you take care of business. You're being honest. That gets us to the second seed currently. How about this in the AFC, as everyone expected? The Tua-led Miami Dolphins.
I don't.
Leading receiver in the NFL, Tua, third best completion percentage, second best with quarterbacks that actually make multiple starts behind Geno Smith. How about that?
I'm going to go bottom tier contender.
So still a, I did it!
Yeah.
So still a contender.
I think they definitely have the pieces. It's just always been hard for me to go and vote in favor of a young team in the playoffs with a young quarterback, because I think you see a lot of older quarterbacks and just players in general completely change once playoffs comes around.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for me to be like, oh, they're going to go do this in the playoffs against the Bills or the Chiefs that have been there and done that and know what it takes to get there. But they definitely have the pieces to do that.
They remind me of year one, a slightly worse version. Let me be very specific here because it's not exactly the same. They remind me of a slightly worse year one Patrick Mahomes led Chiefs. I mean, all air attack all the time. I mean, they do have, I mean, it's not just Tyreek Hill. I mean, Jalen Waddle's been a fan. I mean, one of the best, if not the best, second option receiver in the league. And Tua has played lights out.
Oh, yeah.
Not a joke for those three games he missed. But has played exceptional. I mean, talk about development, guys, I didn't expect. You go from year one, year two, leaps and bounds to what this year has been for Tua. I don't know if they have enough, though, when it comes down to it, when it gets to those road games. And maybe this is different next year or the year after that, but it's what I viewed the Chiefs that ended up getting beat by New England in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
But a little bit worse.
I definitely see the comparison to, like, the first year Mahomes Chiefs.
Let's go to the third, currently third seed in the playoff hunt. The Tennessee Titans just picked up another win last night. All they do is win ugly. 7-3. Is it the same old song for the Titans, or?
I think so. I think they're pretenders.
I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody.
They're winning because they're a smart football team, and they have, in my opinion, a smart, good head coach.
Absolutely.
But I can't see them making it far with the receiving core that they do. While it has been playing better and they're playing more to the strength of run, play action pass type game mode, they just still don't have the weapons outside of Derrick Henry.
And I think what you've seen from then, when it hasn't gone well and they absolutely need to find anything through the air, they just can't. If it hasn't been set up and if they haven't uglified, just absolutely a word, don't question me, uglified the game already, and they get any sort of point of the game where they're down and have to get something through the air consistently, whether it's Willis or Tannehill, they don't have the guys to do it.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure their backup running back is leading their team in receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, so I agree. I think it's going to be the same old song for the Titans, but at the same time, you don't want to look up and see them in the first or second round. Oh. You don't want to play them in the playoffs.
Definitely a tough out, but not someone I can see winning all of them.
Let us know what you think on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. When we come back, it'll be BPE's Money Play of the Day. All that and more right here, 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hour number two of the Bottom Line. You've got us on 100.7 The Score. Clint Scott with Jackson Frazier and Brennan, paid employee, Mr. Paid Employee himself. It is a Friday edition. Thank you for joining us. We are live from the First United Bank studio. You can call us on the Benchmark Hotline. You'll hear Brennan's voice. That number is 806-771-0973. Or you can hit us up on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, reactions, score predictions. All of that, welcome there. Don't forget, you can take us anywhere with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. Jackson, what were we pointing at over there?
I'm guessing it's men's basketball odds to win the national championship. Tech was at 40-1.
Okay.
Looked like eighth overall.
Yeah. They'll be playing in the Maui Invitational on Monday. Now here, we will have a very, very quick look at that when we get to Monday. That coverage will be on Double T 97.3 starting at 12:30, taking on the Creighton Blue Jays to kick that thing off. Certainly a tough matchup, an experienced Creighton team, a big Creighton team, you're going to have to age up and age up quick. And it's part of it. It's part of what the early season is going to be. And I don't know if anyone is looking at this any differently, but I'll tell you if you are, if it does go poorly, and let's say you go, let's say you go 1-2 in that thing, something like that. Don't panic.
No, there's still so much basketball left.
So much basketball, and you obviously have so much more room to grow. And even when I look at some of the, other than Louisville is the worst team in this tournament. No two ways about it. And I mean, it's come from the allegations a few years ago, the parting of ways with Chris Mack. All of that with Louisville has led to a hole over there in Louisville, Kentucky. And other than that, you look at kind of the two other bottom-viewed teams, an Ohio State team that doesn't have E.J. Liddell anymore, but still some experience on there. Cincinnati that missed the tournament last year, I think they went on a streak of like losing six in a row when they were in contention looking at making the tournament. Has returned a lot, though. And again, early on in these games, sometimes it doesn't go down to talent. It goes down to guys that have better chemistry, have been in a system, have figured it out. I think you'll have a good showing. I do. I think you'll see, hopefully you have a tournament where you shoot lights out, because you've been waiting for that consistently. You got a lot of guys that can do it on offense. There's no doubt about that. It's just, again, about figuring out timing with everybody, spacing. I mean, you're going to cut down your rotation, hopefully, after this week, and you're going to figure out stuff about this team really fast because of the level of competition you'll be playing regardless of what happens.
This sounds like a no-duh type statement, but if Tech can go into Hawaii shooting hot, they got a really, really good chance at the whole thing.
Well, and when I look at the Creighton team, again, starts out tough, and it's not that you can't beat them. It's just what you've seen from the squad so far early on against lesser competition. I think the turnovers may get you unless you can get them to do the same thing. And I'm not expecting it, but if you come in and you shoot hot, I think that you could be on totally opposite ends of the spectrum. It just depends on what you get from your young guys. Because to your point, I mean, they could come in and shoot lights out. You could have a terrific tournament from a multitude of guys. But right now, from what you've seen, as expected, you're going to have to go through some growing pains in some of the turnovers, some of the rebounding, some of penetration. I mean, that's what kind of killed you against Louisiana Tech at times, was way too easy drives and then a dish to a post that made him seem like he was an All-American when it was just kind of losing track defensively. That's all stuff, again, new to the system. No worries if that's going to get fixed by Mark Adams.
Yeah, no. Basketball is such a chemistry-centric sport. Mm-hmm. People, it's really easy to think that it's not because of how it looks from the outside, and you kind of see guys like in the NBA, for example, you see a lot of guys just like kind of linking up on teams and playing really well together. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't seem, but a lot of those guys have been playing together, know each other, and have been playing with each other since they were this age, you know, this age as in, you know, entering college and stuff like that. But it takes a minute, mm-hmm. just like anything, you know, chemistry wise. But once it's there, you know, this team's going to be different.
And you can tell that because part of the turnovers that you've seen, I think one have sparked from younger guys that are adjusting to the college game. It doesn't matter if you're playing Duke or if you're playing Northwestern State. It just doesn't. It's an adjustment to the D1 level. And some things that worked in the high school level where you've been able to drive and just get to the rim at any point in time, put your head down a little bit too much, almost, and you don't want to take any of the aggression away, right? That's why you brought some of these guys here. But then they put themselves in bad spots. And then they find themselves in midair jumping, don't know where the ball's going to be. But another part of the turnovers, too, is you've seen some balls that have been easy turnovers, just almost passes to the other team because they've been expecting a guy to be in another place. And they go to throw without thinking, go to pass without thinking, and all of a sudden the team has a breakaway. All of that stuff is, again, figuring out playing alongside some of your teammates that, again, I mean, as many new faces that are playing significant time, or at least up for playing significant time in the rotation. It's all stuff that goes, I mean, it's part of basketball right now, especially in today's college basketball.
Oh, yeah.
huge part of it.
It's just, yeah, such the small things like, you know, where does Walton like to sit when someone's driving? Is he going to be in the corner? Is he going to be kind of like in that middle spot between the corner and elbow extended? You know, who are the guys that likes to drive on their own? Who are the guys that I kind of have to, you know, give that little head nod to for them to drive? And it's just learning the guys, and it takes game experience to, you know, figure that stuff out. Practice and scrimmaging with those guys only does so much.
So again, we'll have a 12:30 or a preview leading up to that 12:30 start on Monday. Again, real quick show there for us here on the bottom line. We get this on the Exploring Center chat line from Bullfighter. You shut your face, Clint. Nobody likes the cold weather, you jackwagon.
Jackwagon.
I love it, man. I'm so excited that it's here. I could use without the wind, though, but just the cold. Feeling it. We get this from Chris. Do y'all have two wooden rocking chairs and a banjo in the corner? No, it's not quite that. Ding, 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 ding. Y'all fan, you says in the wrong apartment. They make clips for the fitted sheets. Kobe also says they make little clips for the corners of the fitted sheet. Bought some for like $5 years ago. Worth it. If I could turn back time.
I'm stuck in my routine. I'm just going to probably keep balling it up and hiding it until it's needed.
But you're going to stick with, I'm just going to keep balling.
That too. Straight balling.
This from Raider's dad. I've been told I sleep like an alligator doing its death roll. Our bed basically has to be put back together each morning. Reference that.
You ever?
A few days ago. Because I'm same. It's like whatever position I go to sleep in, I'm going to wake up completely different.
Do you ever wake up in like a different spot? Not just like obviously like you fell asleep like on the left side of the bed and then you wake up on, but like you wake up like turned upside down, like your head is where your feet were when you fell asleep.
It's not that bad. Is that happening to you?
Not happening, but it's happened. I've had some days where
Are you a sleepwalker? I've never been in the house with someone that's been a sleepwalker.
I think I had my first like sleepwalking experience the other day, and it was sleep eating.
Ooh, see, that's what goes back to we're talking about
the snacks.
Gaining weight, like it's snacks, like even asleep.
Can't help it.
Your subconscious isn't helping you.
I know. I was just made to be an offensive lineman.
Picking games when we come back on 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
We've reached the final hour of the Bottom Line. You've got us on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. It is hour number three. You can call us at the Benchmark Hotline, 806-771-0973. We're live from the First United Bank Studio. Don't forget to take us anywhere with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. Today's edition featuring myself, the Viking, Jackson, J6 Mafia, and what did we get earlier here from Raider's dad? Lil Crouton Jr. or LKJ. You're going to have just a bunch of new nicknames today, all based around the same thing.
LKJ sounds like the initials for an airport.
Yeah, we're going to be late. Suck your delay 2 hours at LKJ. Oh, that's the worst.
Brennan's going to look like a real scholar with all the initial nicknames that he has at the end of his name. BPE, LKJ, PhD.
MJ, MMJ. Are you also a doctor professor? We have three of them here.
Not yet.
Oh, still working on it?
No, we actually will not work on it.
What's wrong? You don't want to be a DPBPE?
I think no.
You think no. Well, I'm sold.
You're allowed to think that.
No, you're not. Not at all. Not here. It is time now for Jackson's question of the day.
Jamie's question of the day on 100.7 The Score is presented by Bizarre Solutions. Call them today for a free cybersecurity audit.
All right, so I want to play a little hypothetical with you guys. The Texas Tech football team only needs one more win to reach bowl eligibility. Mm-hmm. But let's just play the game that let's play on the positive side. Let's say that they get the next two and we finish 7-5.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to add anything to that. We're going to finish 7-5. Who would you expect to be the biggest impact if we can win the next two games?
If you win the next two games, I expect the biggest impact to be maybe I probably can't do the combo of the offensive line and the running backs. So I'm going to go with the running backs that you've stuck with the running game. And now what is a three-headed monster, if you continue hopefully to use, and I would assume the plan would be to keep using Cameron Valdez along with Sir Roderick Thompson and Taj Brooks.
Does he have like red shirt available or anything like that? He's only played in two.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the scenario is for that. But, boy, if you could have him for as many years on campus as possible. All we heard about him was how good of an offseason he had. And we heard look out for Cameron Valdez and heard a lot about Nehemiah Martinez. And as we saw and have seen at times, absolutely correct on Nehemiah Martinez, incredibly excited about his career. But now we got the first true look at Cameron Valdez in big minutes,
mm-hmm.
instead of just kind of like the kind of garbage time minutes he got.
I felt like he added a whole new dimension wrinkle when he was out on there.
And he is a violent runner.
Mm-hmm.
And as we all know, so is Sir Roderick Thompson. I think Taj is too, but labeled between the two, I typically would go Thompson, and I think Taj Brooks is a little more shifty. Cameron Valdez, I think, has a little bit of both to his game. And the nice thing is really all three backs. I probably need to wait before I say this about Valdez. Hold on. Your two main backs coming into the season are very well-rounded, and you can use mm-hmm. them in a lot of different ways. Now, you haven't at times this year, whether that be because you couldn't with the offensive line or just out play called yourself. But if you go 2-0, I think your running back room has had a terrific, terrific next couple of games and an effective next couple of games. And I think you can do that. And certainly against Iowa State, you need that.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause if you just come out guns blazing, and even then, we haven't just seen just a bunch of deep shot after deep shot. It's been more kind of chipping your way with the short passing game, stuff like that. But if you do just try to come out guns a-blazing, I do not like that offensive scheme against Iowa State. I think that's how things can go poorly in Ames. But that would also mean you've just reverted from what you've been successful with at times, and especially last week against the Jayhawks. So I think if you go 2-0, I mean, the running backs have had an effective and good set of games.
What about you, Brennan?
For me personally, it's going to have to be quarterback play. I think what we saw against Kansas is finally some facet of consistent quarterback play, and that's what you've been needing all season long. Even though the run game was great against Kansas, I think leading you forward for these next two crucial games is you're going to have a quarterback lead that offense, and whoever it is going to have to be consistent, and you're gonna have to stick with him probably for the next two, or if you can get to that bowl game, three games.
Are you gonna, would you personally, are you sticking with Shuck?
Yes.
Okay, so I lean more, when I was thinking of this question, I lean more towards Clint. I think the running game is what would get us to 2-0. I think obviously the quarterback would have to play well. He couldn't just come out and be hurting the team for us to have a chance to win both those games. But I think that we've shown that we can win with whichever quarterback can go out there, I guess is going to be the best way I'm going to put it.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen that no matter who the quarterback is, the drives that are really sustainable or the drives that we watch that we're like, ooh, let's just keep doing that. Usually, I'm not going to say revolve around the run, but it's a good balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good, you know, getting ahead of the sticks on first and second down. So that maybe a third down throw doesn't have to be a 3rd-and-8 throw, or mm-hmm. we can actually just keep running it. And it's 3rd-and-2, and we just ran it 3 times in a row for a first down.
And that's the other side of that, right, is at times where you have a 3rd-and-short, you didn't just mess around. You said, let's go get it. Let's not play with 2 downs because we know we have them. Like, just go get the first. And I think that's part of it too.
Yeah, I think there was a good stretch where they were like, oh, well, we have the fourth down, so let's do something safe for third down. And by safe, I don't mean like safe as in, you know, a little slant, but safe as in let's just try to get three so we can get fourth and one. Mm-hmm. And I think it should always be try to get a first down, whether it's first, second, third, fourth. I think there are plays that are made, you know, just for four. But mm-hmm. if it's blocked and ran correctly, you could still get the first down from it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I think running backs will be a big part too. I think it's going to be the biggest part to get to that 2-0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let us know what you think on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We get this. LKJ, do you not know how to spell crouton? Doesn't start with a K. And little crouton, it does. K-R-E-W-T-O-N, baby. Part of the crouton crew. We get another crouton is spelled with a C-clint. The salad one is.
Not the rapper one.
Not the rapper. Not Jamer, a.k.a. Lil Crouton. Now, and, sidekick, Lil Crouton.
In my
Lil
phone,
Crouton
though,
Jr., LKJ.
In my phone, though, it is a C.
Oh, what?
But it's C-R-E-W-T-O-N.
Okay, so you still have, like, the cool.
Yeah, it's still cool.
I say cool.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty nifty. I'd say I ruined it with nifty, but it was already not great. Nah, we don't care.
Nah.
Nah. Raider's dad says, rip Dr. Sparky. There's a new doctor here.
A doctor professor.
DPBPE. One day, no matter how much. You're going to be, we're like those parents. You're going to be a doctor professor, whether you like it or not.
MD, PhD.
No diggity when we come back. You've got the bottom line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is once again time to play a little No Diggity. It's that time of day where I throw out a situation to today Jackson Frazier. LKJ, Lil Crouton Jr. Yes, we're aware crouton is spelled with a C, and so is crew. Thank you. Thank you.
It's more hip.
It's more 90s rap if we say the crouton crew spelled with a K, right? Yeah. Yeah. And with their digitometers, might as well just fit right in, right? they tell us just how much diggity a certain situation has. Brendan, did you bring your own digitometer today, or did you have to use the guest one? We don't mind sharing.
I had to buy one at Battery Joe's, so.
Oh, I mean, telling you, they're sold everywhere now.
Left and everywhere. Right. Flying off the shelves.
Oh, man, we're making so much money off of this. Not really. Today, I want to look at the head coach of tomorrow's opponent. Sir Matthew Campbell, heir to the Campbell soup throne, I assume. It's cold there. Makes sense. Probably going to want some tomorrow.
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah. Best Campbell soup?
Chicken noodle.
The OG chicken noodle soup.
Team cream and chicken. Campbell's, the original one's good though too. Obviously. Fantastic.
Never had the creamy chicken.
Never had the cream of chicken? Cream of.
Cream of.
Of. Of. And then cream of mushroom, heavily used at this time of year because it's used in everything. Yeah. All the casseroles.
Yeah. Not a big mushroom guy.
You're a big human guy. That's why. You are a fun guy, though. That was terrible. Sorry. I want to look at Sir Matthew Campbell. So this is a guy that's been at the top, or at least over the past few years, when you look at the next big thing in coaching. Right. I mean, there was links to Ohio State. Anytime you had a big job open in the D1 level, kind of that blue blood classic, you've seen Matt Campbell's name be thrown around. And credit to where credit's due. What he's done at Iowa State, just making them a consistently relevant team, that's hard to do in Ames. And he's done it consistently. I would argue last year with his team of finally senior-laden, a very talented team probably a little bit of a letdown of what was expected. 7-5 last year, which again, for what I think Iowa State's consistent standards are, when you go kind of that mean average, probably take that all the time. But now things not going as well this year. Brock Purdy is gone. Kolar is gone. Breece Hall is gone. Defense, as we know, still phenomenal. I mean, still very good. Best in the conference. Offense, not so much. Head above water trying to make a bowl game. I'll word it this way for our no diggity situation. The shine of big-time coaching candidate Matt Campbell has rusted a little bit.
I kind of feel like my digitometer is just straight middle. It's kind of hard for me to tell, like, at least right now, at least in my opinion, because I would assume it has. I would think it has had to a little bit, just kind of seeing how that off. I know he's probably not an offensive guy, but just seeing how that team is. His defense is great. His defense could easily go get him another job somewhere else, his defensive resume. I just don't know if he's kind of like the bell of the ball type anymore. I don't know if that's
a good reference.
Yeah, I don't know if he's the main character, what everyone's going to be looking at. I think he'll still get the interviews. He's still going to get looked at, but I don't think it's the sweepstakes for him anymore like it used to be, or at least thought out how it used to be.
Brendan, where's your digitometer sit at?
I agree with Jackson, because for me, what Matt Campbell has done at Iowa State is nothing short of spectacular. And it was kind of no surprise that this season they're kind of have a slump just because of who they lost last season and the fact that they're a young team. I got to give Matt Campbell one more year before I think next year's make or break for Matt Campbell, whether he gets that big, you know, higher or not.
I'm going to differ from you guys. I'm going to go even more on the side of diggity. I'm going to go 10%. Or I guess it'd be the other way. I guess it would be 90% no diggity as far as the sheen coming off. Because I think at this point, I think it will come to a name will be thrown out and will be involved when you look at the Nebraskas and the Wisconsins. But now you have like a Matt Rhule. Unfortunately, you have a Lance Leipold in the name of these. I think that it's going to be if he does get pulled away from Iowa State, they've scratched a few more names now. Maybe they've tried to pull Luke Fickell away from Cincinnati or, you know, whatever program that is. Maybe they go towards a group of five type of guy now. Like do I think he's a great coach still? Yes, but I think the momentum, that kind of rolling, Matt Campbell is the next coach at Michigan. He's the next coach at Ohio State. He's the next coach. Look out when Saban retires. He's headed to Alabama. You know, any of those type of programs, I think that sort of magnetism is gone. It's kind of a strike while the iron's hot.
Oh yeah,
situation.
That's kind of feels like sports in general, you know. With most players, you know, they get with most people in sports. He might have just if it all depends on what he wants to, you know. Maybe he wants to stay at Iowa State and be that guy that's there for a long time. I don't know why you'd want to, but maybe that's what he wants. But it kind of feels like that time where he could have gotten one of those top jobs is kind of gone, and he might go get something else in a different P5 conference, but I don't know if it's the Ohio State, Michigan type level anymore.
And the other side of that too is, you know, how quickly do any of these open up? You know, you've seen a lot of big contracts get linked down, and even in a similar vein, maybe not quite to what you would do. I mean, I know we're throwing out the biggest of the biggest, but like things aren't going well at Michigan State right now, but that's a big contract that's been locked up. Things aren't going well at Texas A&M. That's a big contract. Penn State, things are going well, but I mean, if anybody ever pulled Franklin away, you know, would that be something? But again, that contract with Franklin is a big contract. So, I mean, all of these questions might end up just being irrelevant just because you don't see the necessity of it, and you won't have the actual openings. And right now, I think will be a telling sign because Wisconsin feels like the type of program level-wise that I would expect maybe would have him at the top of the list right now, right? Not quite all the way to that level of Ohio State, but they've certainly viewed themselves of that. I mean, firing a guy who's won a ton of ball games for the Badgers. They would start off great. Yeah,
they definitely expect that of him coming in, I would feel like.
And so that's what, like a team like that, that's going to, I think, answer that for me this year. If they do go after him, if he is at the top of the list, and again, who says that he says yes? That being said, any team that does take him, please get him out of the conference. He is a thorn in the side. And again, credit where credit's due, because that's what he's turned the Cyclones into. And it is no fun to play them. And even though things aren't going just incredibly well this year, still just not, hadn't been fun to play them. I mean, ugly games. I've been beaten a lot. Again, I like your chances as you play them tomorrow. Optimum Game Day Live starting off at 7 on Double T97.3. But that being said, as far as the elite of the elite, yeah, I think the shine has a little tint to it, some smudge.
Speaking of coaches, do you think if Cliff was to get fired, he comes down back to the college ranks, or do you think he stays?
I don't know if he would ever come back to the college rank. I just don't think he would.
Yeah, I think the same. I was just wondering what you thought. He doesn't really fit his style of what I see. He doesn't seem like a recruiter.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he could. Maybe he would want to come and still have some of that money that's in the old bank account and maybe do like an analyst or something like that. But as far as coming straight being a college coach, or I mean, especially a college coordinator, I just don't see that happening. I think he would bounce in well enough and stay there in the NFL and find something.
Yeah, he definitely
in a few
seems,
years if that were to happen.
He definitely seems like more of a, at least right now, he would go get a coordinator job and then work his way back up.
We get this on the chat line. If you're a teenage girl, I guess my daughter's hip-hop dance was called a crew with a K. Guess it's fitting for you as well, Clint. That Clint with a K. That's well done.
It's pretty sick nasty.
It's Nick, sick nasty Nick Sasty coming to a wrestling ring near you. It's the bottom line on 100.7 The Score.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.